You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we look at the history of the first Black American Girl doll and whether that first character would have had more story options today. First, we're beginning our series of candidate interviews for Wisconsin's 2016 congressional race. We've invited candidates running to represent Wisconsin to join us in on Central Time and on the Joy Cardine Show. Today, we're looking at the 6th Congressional District in eastern Wisconsin, which incorporates everything from the Wisconsin Dells to Oshkosh, Sheboygan, and Beaver Dam. Republican Glenn Grothman from Glenbula is the incumbent in that district and is challenged by Democrat Sarah Lloyd and independent candidate Jeff Dahlke. Glenn Grothman joins us now. Congressman Grothman, welcome back.
Glad to be on the show. Glad I was listening a little bit early. A new scandal every hour.
Well, let's start by focusing on you and why you are choosing to run for another term in Congress. What do you want to do there?
Well, I think there are a variety of things that have to be accomplished. I think if I had to list the things that are most important to me as I get around my district, we do have an out-of-control welfare system that is discouraging people from working, is discouraging parents for providing a good role model to their kids, and discouraging marriage. So I want to change that system to stop having those perverse incentives. I'm worried about our immigration system. We've had presidents of both parties who really tried not to enforce our borders. We need immigrants, and I love talking to immigrants. Frequently, I find our immigrants appreciate America more than the native-born because they know the difference between America and the country they come from. On the other hand, we have got to stop this idea of letting anybody into the country. We know right now we are getting some people here for the welfare. We're getting some people with criminal backgrounds. It's time to close the borders and choose who's going to come into this country rather than anybody who wants to come here. Finally, I'm very worried about the debt. We have over $19 trillion debt. Too many of my colleagues in Washington are finding it too easy to come up with new programs and spend more money. I considered myself very much of a fiscal conservative in Madison. I intend to do the same thing in Washington. There are other issues as well. Insofar as the federal government touches education, I think it's more important to train people with skills, be they in the trades, be it welding, other areas that manufacturers need. I think we should direct things more that way. And finally, I'm very concerned about the heroin epidemic. A lot of that has got to be solved at the local level, but I don't think our government is doing a good job of stopping heroin at the border, and I don't think they're doing an aggressive enough job of preventing the interstate transfer of heroin. So I think that's a general overview of the things I look to accomplish or try to move towards in my second term.
Now, you're running against Democratic candidate Sarah Lloyd and independent candidate Jeff Dahlke. What do you see as the major differences in your policies?
Well, my history on all five of those issues, I think, is going to be strong. Don't know a super lot about my opponents. I know Sarah seems a pleasant person. I know she is, I think, along with Bernie Sanders for, you know, a free college education, which is a bad sign to me. I mean, there's no shortage of people in Washington looking for ways to spend more of your money. I know right now Hillary Clinton is predicted to be the new president. I know she wants free college for everybody, or almost everybody. And, you know, at a time when you're $19 trillion in debt, I just think we don't need more people going to Washington to think of new ways to spend money. I look for people to go to Washington with the ability to say no, being a little bit skeptical of these new spending programs.
Now, you've supported Donald Trump's race for president. Well, recently, some Republicans have backed away from their support of him after the release of that 2005 conversation with Billy Bush. Paul Ryan, for instance, says he will no longer defend Trump or will campaign with him. Do you still support Donald Trump?
Well, I don't think I was ever a big supporter, but I'll say this. I don't think there's anybody who's been a bigger critic of Hillary Clinton, and we can't have her. I mean, for those people listening, just a couple minutes ago on the news, it appears as though the Clintons or the Clinton Foundation took in $1 million from Qatar, another country, in exchange for favors. I don't know if we've ever before had a president who makes decisions based on bribes. I think it was in the state legislature for 20 years. I think Gary George was the only one in the entire state legislature, which probably over a period that long, probably included 200 people, who I know took bribes. Now we have the danger of a president who's going to take bribes. We have the danger of a president who is going to continue the current policy of letting everybody come across the border and even said we're not taking our fair share of people from the Middle East. I think we've got to vet these people more. I am afraid that if Hillary gets in there, we will have four more years of open borders, which is a problem. And, of course, I disagree with the type of people she's going to put on the Supreme Court. So I don't understand. I am afraid that as a nation, we cannot afford four more years of open borders. We cannot afford four more years of a foreign policy that may well be based on bribes. And for those reasons, the only person who I look to be able to stop those things is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not a perfect person. Obviously, I'm concerned about his personal life. I don't think his personal life is as bad as a Bill Clinton or a John Kennedy, but I'm concerned about his personal life and wish it would cleaned up a little bit more. But I'll talk to him about that. I hope to see him, quite frankly, later tonight. And, you know, people can all ask for forgiveness. People can all turn their life around. And I hope that's going to happen with his private life.
You mentioned when we started talking that you were interested in welfare reform in part because you wanted there to be a good role model for kids. I mean, with that same argument in mind, do you have those same concerns about Donald Trump?
Yes, I think it's important. Like I said, I have talked to Donald before, and we'll talk to him again. Hopefully this is something in his past. Hopefully it will stay in the past and not something we're going to have to worry about in the future. And I'm going to talk to him about it. I mean, it's a concern. We remember when Bill Clinton was president. We remember, you know, there was a time where there was it seemed like the mistress of the week in the Star magazine. We don't want to have a repeat from it. I don't think Donald Trump is that bad. And I think he will grow out of this.
We are talking with Glenn Grothman right now. Congressman Grothman is with us. He's the incumbent candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 6th District in one of our candidate interviews here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I want to talk now about free trade agreements, like the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership that has been a point of controversy in this election. What are your thoughts on free trade agreements?
Well, first of all, as far as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, has made it clear he's not in favor of it. We're not going to bring it up for a vote. So I have not immersed myself in that. It's an over 2,000-page document. I'm not going to spend the time to spend 2,000 pages, but I'm not going to have to vote on it. I do think it's important that when we bring forth these agreements, that the United States laws do not become hostage to international tribunals. On the other hand, you know, Wisconsin agriculture, a big agriculture state, is dependent on trade. I don't care whether you're talking to, you know, corn farmers, talking to dairy farmers, whoever you're looking for out there, sugar beet farmers, they are all concerned that we don't take away their trade. So we've got to be concerned about that. And to be honest, I think I got 40 letters from manufacturers in my district that were concerned if they would lose their ability to sell abroad. So we need a responsible agreement, but we don't need one giving up our sovereignty.
I want to ask you about some recent news now. Federal Judge James Peterson criticized officials in Wisconsin for doing what he called little to inform the public of what would serve as a valid ID for voting. And as a supporter of the state's voter ID law, is that a point of concern for you when it comes to the implementation of the law?
Right, it is a concern. And what concerns me is there's so many people looking for a pretext to strike down the voter ID law. I mean, there's some medications you can't get without showing an ID. I can't get in an airplane without showing an ID. So you look at all the things that somebody really has to do and whose lives would really be kind of muddled up without an ID, and you wonder why some people are so obsessed with saying you shouldn't need an ID to vote. And we just think that is a little bit strange. I voted for the voter ID law. I'm glad I did. And I hope it's upheld throughout this election. When you think of all the other times in your life that you are required to show an ID, to say all of a sudden The one thing you don't need an ID for is voting seems strange, and I have to question the motives of people who want to strike down that law.
You said you were concerned at the beginning of that answer. Does that mean, do you feel that the state is prepared to administer the new law effectively come Election Day?
I've talked to several, I think we're prepared, and I've talked to several town clerks, village clerks, and they think the law is going along very well. And, of course, we've had the law for a while now, so they've had to deal with it. They haven't had problems, and I'll trust the experts, the village and town clerks of the state of Wisconsin. If it's okay with them, it's okay with me.
So just briefly now, as we wrap up, this particular election cycle has been called brutal. The approval ratings for Congress are at a record low. What do you think needs to change in American politics?
I think we need a strong president to kind of whip Congress into shape. I myself, having been there, am frustrated that more is not done. Now, part of it is the rules to get stuff done are more restrictive in Congress than nationwide. But even then, I don't think there's enough of a sense of urgency in Congress with regard to the debt, with regard to the welfare, with regard to the immigration, or with regard to the heroin problems, quite frankly. And hopefully we'll have a new strong president to go over the heads of Congress, make the appeal to the people, and begin to get things done.
And before we let you go, any final thoughts for listeners?
Well, just we encourage you to vote. I've always been an independent congressman. You know, you mentioned I am for Donald Trump, and I'm certainly against Hillary. But if he would get elected, I will fight Donald Trump on his stop and frisk stuff. I don't think the president has any business getting involved in local policing. I will fight Donald Trump on some of what I would consider as excessive spending proposals. So I will make my mark, whether it's a Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump there. Like I said, I will tell you, if it is a Trump and he's the underdog now, I will not be afraid to take him on a variety of issues. So if you want an independent voice in the 6th District, I'm your guy.
Congressman Grothman, thank you so much for joining us.
I plan to do a lot more interviews so that the erudite office of erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio can continue to hear from me.
That was Glenn Grothman. He's the incumbent candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 6th District. Coming up after the news, American Girl dolls started in Wisconsin and have been sought after toys for years now. We look at the first black doll and what her story says about race in America. I'm Veronica Rickert, and this is Central Time.